You're listening to John Miles on piano and guitar, also on bass guitar. And John, you're also going to play some more modern instruments. I would have described you actually as a traditionalist in the popular music field. Somebody who uses strings quite a lot, somebody who uses conventional brass instruments quite a lot on the records that you make. But in the last, 7 or 8 years, things have really changed, haven't they? Everybody seems now to want or to have to use synthesizers. Is that a matter of regret for you?
It's not a matter of regret, no. Up till about a year ago, it was. Because there's nothing actually like being in the studio. I mean, having completed the backing track with everything on it, apart from an arrangement. There's nothing like the sound, actually, of being in the middle of a studio when the orchestra's playing. And having a big string section and a nice sort of 10-piece brass section playing. And on the most recent album that we've done, we used, I think on one track, on The Right to Sing, we used about 52 players on that. 40 string players and 12 brass players, I think it was. And there's nothing like the feel from that, but the music changes, and the production of music changes.
Yeah, yeah.
And nowadays it seems that the accepted sound is electronic.
Do you think people can tell the difference between, I mean, when you had those sweeping string sections, particularly in your music, like on The Right to Sing, which was a really good single from last year, the emotional bits, kind of sad emotion is strings, isn't it? And the dramatic bits are trumpets and trombones and things, real brass. Can people tell the difference, or do they say, oh, that's trumpets?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, the only thing I knew was that I could tell the difference, because when we recorded the track, we did try it with synthesizers. We really did try it. I mean, we tried it a couple of times. And it is the drama. I mean, if you need drama, then you need real strings.
Because it'd be a lot cheaper.
On a song like that, you do, anyway.
Yeah, right. It would be a lot cheaper to have one guy just pressing some buttons, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but the sad thing about it is that puts a lot of people out of work. I know it's a shame, but, I mean, if there are different songs need different things. And I think the Right to Sing, as I said before, we tried it with synths. And decided that it really didn't need an orchestra. Other songs that we've done, maybe with strings, could have gotten by easily with a synthesizer.
You've got a thing called a polyphonic synthesizer there. What's that mean exactly, John?
Polyphonic means you can play more than one note at a time.
Like a piano?
Yeah. Like the early synthesizers, you're restricted to one note. You couldn't play chords on them. If you wanted to build up chords, then you had to multi-track. And if you want to play a D chord, you would play a first track. You would play a D, and then you would play an F sharp and an A and a D on top of that. But polyphonic means that you can actually play chords on the thing.
And this is a fairly advanced device because, like, either you have to program it. What is that?
Well, you can sort of program sounds into it, so you have a lot of presets. You press a button and you get the sound.
Oh, so if you'd worked out trumpet, say, then you would just press a button and it would play the trumpet.
Yeah, you press a button and it plays that sound, or if you want to modify the sound, you press another button which says edit, and then you've got the whole sort of sequence of controls where you can add anything you want, add any kind of vibrato, sustain, decay, anything you want on it.
So, having got the track that we've got down for What's Your Name, it seems to me to be reasonably funky, if that's not a dirty word to you. It has a kind of disco feel to it.
Uh-huh.
You've now got this thing that looks something like a piano, but also looks like a typewriter and a computer. What do you want out of the Oberheim synthesizer? What do you want for that tune?
Well, initially what I would put down on this is it's just a kind of nice, fat, round sound, which isn't percussive at all, but which would carry the chord progression through.
Now, why don't you want it to be percussive?
Because there's so much going on in the track anyway. The guitar's percussive, the bass is percussive, and the drum track is pretty percussive as well. So you want something now which just sort of carries the whole thing through.
So you'd set about playing more or less a kind of violin or a section?
Yeah, sort of. Uh-huh. I mean, something which has a percussive sound at the beginning of it. I mean, if you listen to this note, it has a percussive sound. And then it dies out, right? I mean, otherwise you could have something Whereas if you were trying to do strings, I mean, I won't sort of try and set a string sound up, but if you're doing strings, then you wouldn't want a percussive start to it. You would want to kind of fade to it. Which is the way a violin player would play, really. He would sort of start very soft and then and start bowing heavier and eventually end up in the middle with a sort of a crescendo, you know, the loudest point that he's going to play. You would have the percussive sound at the beginning of a chord change. Need that little sort of percussive thing at the beginning.
All right, so let's play that back, and we'll now add the. How many tracks have we got on this so far?
I'll give in. Ask me one on sport.
Piano, drum machine, bass guitar, guitar is four. So this is the fifth time round. Having added the synthesizer track, it now sounds to me as though you're pretty well there, except it doesn't have any words and it doesn't have a vocal. So can we talk about your singing? Because you're not just a composer, you're not just a guitarist or pianist, you're very much regarded as a vocalist. Your hit records have all been vocals, you've never had an instrumental one. I've got a question from Paul Terry, who's interested to know two things. One, how you train the falsetto part of your voice, how you get the wide range that you've got. And two, having got it, how, if you're off the road, if you're not touring, how do you keep your voice in trim? Let's take the second part first. How do you keep your voice in trim?
I don't. I've never had any kind of voice training at all, apart from being in a school choir and church choir. As far as keeping the voice in trim, there's no kind of sort of deep secret there at all. I mean, I sort of smoke cigarettes and drink brandy and, you know, stay up late. It never seems to affect me. I mean, I think the only time I did have any trouble was during a long tour, I think, which was the More Miles Per Hour tour, which was about 5 weeks, and it was a gig every night kind of thing. So the strain sort of showed a bit there on a couple of gigs, but apart from that, there's, you know, I don't... Nowadays, I mean, if we do tour, I do tend to sort of go to bed a bit earlier and not drink so much brandy, but that's about it, really.
Well, how did you develop the range that you've got? Because you seem to me to be able to sing really some very high notes.
It's not a question of developing it. It was a question of it was just there, really. It's always been there, and I had an argument with a guy a few weeks ago who said he was on about the difference between singing straight and singing falsetto. And... it's not very often that I do sing falsetto. Most of my stuff is in natural voice, but I've got a naturally high voice. I mean, the trouble I have is actually trying to get it down, trying to sing low stuff. I have to work at that. But no, I don't do a lot of falsetto.
Perhaps you could just demonstrate what falsetto is. I mean, what's the difference between singing high and singing falsetto?
Well, I mean, in this, the chorus goes, "Hey girl, what's your name?" Right. So if it was falsetto, it'd be,
"Name."
And a normal voice, which I would use, is,
"Hey, girl, what's your name?"
Sorry about the piano playing. And that's the difference. It's a question of using your sort of natural strong voice or actually laying back and using falsetto.
Yes, it seemed to me, listening and watching, that you tried a lot harder on what you describe as the natural voice. Do you find you have to push really hard to get notes?
It depends on the note, really. I remember on the Play On album, there were lots of things in there, lots of notes in there that I've never tried for in the past because I thought they were unreachable. But a couple of times I sort of hit a note and thought, my God, I don't think I could hit that note. And it's just because at the time, it's the time and it's how you feel. And you think, oh, well, the hell, I'll go for it, you know. And it worked on a couple of things.
Well, we'll see whether it works on What's Your Name straight after this.